In your Bibles, the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah, chapter 45. Let's see, I want to read verses 5 through 10. Isaiah 45, beginning in verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? I'm going to stop right there. And basically where I want to go is this bit about the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. And you can blame Debbie, it's her fault. She was on the phone the other day talking with a friend of hers and mine. And they were just visiting, just talking. And as sometimes does, the state of the world comes up in conversation. And this person asked Debbie a question, and the question was this: What does your preacher say about all this that's going on? And Debbie said, Nothing. Which I'm sure created a pause in the conversation. Because the world is full of social preaching. The Bible is left out a lot more times than it's ever brought in. And people don't seem to understand, because I agree with what Debbie said. Totally. And what Debbie quoted to the woman, mentioned to her, said, We believe in letting the potsherd strive with the potsherds. And we stay out of it. On purpose. And people don't seem to understand this. Like I said, I agree. My personal favorite saying, I think it was Henry Mann, I'm not sure. But I remember hearing years ago a statement about Christ told his disciples to come and I'll make you fishers of men. He did not tell his disciples somebody needs to clean out the fish pond. And that's what a lot of preachers want done and what a lot of people want done. They want the fish pond cleaned up and then the fish will just come jump in your boat, I guess. I don't know. Well, that's the way a lot of them preach. The fish got to come to you. No, God's the fisher. And he catches whom he will. When he will and how he will. But anyhow, I've always liked that. I said, God didn't call me to clean the fish pond. Now, what most people don't realize is that I expect this world to be a mess. I do. I expect it. I expect the world to be insane. And by gollies, it proves me right every time I turn on the television. I expect it. I expect the world to be wrong. And I get that every time I turn on the television, too. I am very seldom let down. As a matter of fact, they usually exceed my expectations most of the time. But this is because of this book. I know this world is cursed. It's that simple. I know this world is cursed, and I know that man is alienated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So, by my definition, I do not expect civilized behavior from the world. Now, my definition of civilized is a lot different than the world's definition of civilized. I believe God comes first. And civilization comes from that. Knowing the truth of God and behaving accordingly. And this is the problem that I have with the religious people of this world. I know that most religious people are on what we call, and what is known in the scriptures, as the broad road, which leadeth to destruction. And therefore, because of that, they will spend their time behind this pulpit, wherever they can, on television, wherever, talking about what's wrong with the world. Instead of talking about what is right with God, what is right with Christ, what is right in believing Him, knowing Him. There was a guy I used to like to watch every now and then on TV. Now, this had nothing to do with... It's a religious program, but he wasn't preaching the gospel. He was talking about other people, which I happen to enjoy sometimes, because he would get on the Mormons, and he would get on this, and he'd get on the Jehovah's Witnesses, he'd get on the Muslims, he'd get on a little bit of everything, and he would actually come up with historical facts and stuff that you could actually check and look at. He had a half-hour program on, but he spent about 18 minutes of it begging for money to keep the program on. And after a while, you get tired of it, Mason. Just for those few, you know, little nuggets that I can use later on in a bad argument somewhere. I've done that, I'm being honest. But that's what a lot of these programs are. That's what a lot of religion is. It's self-perpetuating. They have to get in money to do whatever they're doing, to even though what they're doing has nothing to do with this book. And I know most religious people, like I said, are on the broad road that leads to destruction, because the scriptures are clear. Matthew 7:14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And it didn't stop there. He said, and few there be that find it. The other way is broad, and many go to their destruction religiously. What still confounds me is having this, and I mean seriously, I know some of these people, they are seriously religious. They'll go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday evening, Thursday visitation if they have it. But when you talk to them about this book, they act like they don't know what you're saying. They act like they're supposed to clean the fish pond, Mason. They're supposed to be making the world a better place. That's what God wants. God wants you to believe in His Son. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He sent. That's His work. Christ told His disciples, ye have the poor with you always. Now, the reason he told them that was because they were getting a little upset because some woman was putting perfume ointment on Christ's feet, was cleaning them and anointing him. And they said, we could have sold that for money and give it to the poor. And he said, you have the poor with you always. You're not going to have me here. So leave her alone. I got to thinking about this. The reason we have the poor with us always is because we always have this world until he comes. We are in this world. We are not of it as believers, but this world is going to be with us always until it ends. And it's always going to have poor in it. And it's always going to have rich in it. And it's always going to have injustice in it. And it's always going to have prejudice in it. And it's always going to have any kind of evil you want to name. I am against injustice. Don't get me wrong. I am against injustice. I am against discrimination. I am against abortion. I am against senseless violence because of race, sex, politics, religion, whatever. Personally, I'm against sin, Mason. Mac, I'm against sin. But it's here. It's in this world. We are not in the Garden of Eden. We got kicked out. We got kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Because of sin. We were kicked out by God. And the only way to get back into his presence is by God. This world is not supposed to be pleasant. This world is part of our punishment for sin. It was cursed by God. Plainly stated in this book that nobody wants to read. The whole universe was cursed when Adam fell. And this includes man, and this includes the world. Shall the potsherds, let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. I keep up on current events by wandering through the kitchen when Debbie's watching the news on TV. And the potsherds are striving amongst themselves. And the potsherds, I don't want to compare it to building the Tower of Babel necessarily, but sometimes it seems that way. What people are trying to do to in order to fix this world and do it sometimes, not always, but sometimes in the name of religion. I want to turn to Romans chapter 9 and basically the same statement made in Isaiah 45, Romans 9 and verse 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? The answer to that question is yes, he does. I used to get tickled, Earl, that was one of the things Earl would throw at you every now and then. How did you like to answer the questions in Romans chapter 9? I said, sure. And he'd look at me with his eyebrows and say, yeah. Shall a thing formed to him the same that formed it? Why hast thou made me thus? The answer is no. What's the next question? Hath not the potter power over clay? Yes, he does. What's the next question? The hard part's explaining everything. Answering, it's easy. Because these are rhetorical questions. Paul's writing this down. There is no arguing with the scripture. There is no argument with the truth. There's no argument with God. You can have a dissenting opinion, but it ain't going to do you any good. Matter of fact, it might do you a little bit of harm. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Who's doing all this stuff? God. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. That's everybody. God chooses and God saves. God has mercy and God hardens. And God has cursed this earth. And one day, that's going to be fixed. That's the part where Deb and I talk. Well, Walter, we do talk a little bit about this world. It's going to be fixed. It's going to be fixed. I'm going to get into that in a minute. Jesus Christ is called in the scriptures a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. I don't think people understand that part either. Because it's not really exactly what you would call a ringing endorsement. Here's Jesus Christ. He's a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Sweet little Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. That's not what it says. He's a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. I have laid in Zion. God did it. A stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Now I know that Jesus Christ is the light. I know that Christ is the way. I know he is the truth. I know he's the door. That if any man enter in, he'll go in and out and find pasture. I know that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, the only begotten Son, the well-beloved Son, the Lord of all glory, the King of kings and Lord of lords, full of grace and mercy. However, Christ is also the rock of offense and the stumbling stone. We've preached this here to where I think most people here know what that means. But when the world hears this stuff, they're offended. And the only thing I got to tell them is, be prepared to be offended. He is a rock of offense. Be prepared if you do talk to other people about this, that they will be offended. You'll offend their sensibilities. You'll offend their intellect. You'll offend their emotions. And you can offend their faith. Because Christ is a rock of offense. To the religious, he's a stumbling stone. They'll trip over him every time. Because you start laying this foundation down of that Jesus Christ did what he did, everything he purposed to do. He saved his people from their sins 2,000 years ago on the cross, died, rose from the dead. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, expecting his enemies to be put under his feet. And everything's working out perfectly according to his plan. And Religious people will trip right over that. I guarantee it. I've seen it happen. So you need to tell people, or you need to be aware, that people will stumble at what you say. People will be offended by what you say if you talk about the Christ of the Bible.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And let the potsherds strive with the potsherds. Then it says, if you believe in Him, you'll not be ashamed. I will lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and he that believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. The world might be ashamed. The world will stumble. The world will be offended. But he that believes in Christ shall not be ashamed. People complain about this world because they don't know the rock of offense. People complain about this world because they don't know about the stumbling stone. And to be honest, they don't have anything else to look forward to. The next thing I got to thinking about with this, I want to go to Luke chapter 10. I knew I was going to have some extra time with this one. I'm going to wander all over the place. Luke chapter 10. Well, when you get to thinking about this world and what people want to change about it and what people want to do different about it, and there are people who get ulcers thinking about the condition of the planet, thinking about the condition of the world, thinking about stuff that goes on. Well, I don't want to make light of it in some ways, but some days, especially in this place, you know, Walter's holding forth, I can sit around and say, don't worry, be happy. Just like that goofy song. Because I'm hearing Christ preached. Excuse me. Whatever's going on around in the world doesn't matter. When I'm listening to Walter and before Earl preach, that's what matters. And that makes me happy. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. This is Jesus Christ saying this. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now the word Jesus used here, the Greek word, is translated careful. Now the definition in Strong's Concordance is, number one, to be anxious. And 1A says to be troubled with cares. Now this is used as a slight rebuke from Jesus Christ to Martha. There are things that need to be done. There are things that need to be done. But there are things. Actually, there's one thing that's needful. That's Christ. Him. And that's far more important than what troubles us in this world. And it should be far more important than what troubles us in this world. And that's the unfortunate thing, is Jesus Christ is not even on some people's list. On some people's list, he's down about fourth or fifth. Some people's list, he's not on at all. Jesus Christ is much more important than anything I think I have to do. See, I make that about me, not you guys. Just trying to win people over to your side. It's all right, I don't need to. His side's the only side that matters. Jesus Christ is more important than anything I think I have to do. There's nothing wrong with what Martha was doing in this story. There was nothing wrong with what Martha was doing. She was serving others. She was doing what she chose to do. She was serving physically. However, she was begrudging her sister not helping. She was begrudging her sister Mary for not choosing the same thing she chose. And Christ said, no. One thing is needful, and Mary's chosen that good thing. She was sitting at the feet of Christ, listening to him. Listening to the word of the well-beloved, only begotten Son of God. That's needful. To hear him is needful. There's nothing wrong with serving, with doing other things. Because I'm not saying don't clean your house or don't stop working or don't stop fixing meals or anything like that. But one thing is needful: to hear him, to hear Christ. And that's the only thing that's needful. While the master is speaking, it's more important to listen to the words than anything else. The words of Jesus Christ. There's a time to do stuff and there's a time not to do stuff. And when Christ speaks, it's time to listen. And when you're reading Christ's word, it's time to read and to remember and to learn and to study. In Philippians 4:6, Paul put it this way: be careful for nothing. Same exact word. Anxious. Troubled with cares. Be anxious. Be troubled with cares for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, the nice thing about this in Philippians 4:6, when Paul states this, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Right before this, he says, I beseech you, Eudaeus, and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. With Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. He says, be careful for nothing. Right after he says, help those that help me. There is stuff to do. But don't be anxious about this world. Don't be troubled with cares about this world. Because Christ told us you're in the world, but I've taken you out of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. If you know him, all kind of things go on. All kind of things go on. I am concerned, and I'll say this, I'm concerned with this world. I am. because I'm in it. And because the people I know and the people that I love are in this world. But I try not to be anxious about it. I try not to be overly burdened like, oh my God, what am I going to do because of this? And I know people that will, you know, literally wring their hands. Usually it was older people. My grandma used to do that every now and then. Wring their hands over situations and stuff that's going on in this world. With family, with friends, with people you know, people you love, people you care about, people you work with. But at the same time, I'm not worried about this world, Mason. Mac, I'm not worried about the state of this world, Paul. Because the state of this world is exactly where God put it. Where it is, according to His purpose and His plan, right now. And I know that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. It ain't going to get better. I heard a preacher say that one time. And I don't know whether this is all millennial, post millennial, whatever. You know what I mean? To me, it was idiocy. Because he said that what we're doing, there's a midst of a great revival. This was back in 1984. I don't know where it went. And more people are coming to Christ. And more people are being converted. And more people. And the world is getting better every day. I'd like to talk to him now if he ain't dead. And say, do you remember you said this back in 1984? Well, somebody wrote down several hundred years ago, evil men and seducers are getting waxed worse and worse. They are. There's a hint on television every day. The reason I'm not always concerned with this world is because I know who is in control of it. And that's what religion doesn't know. And that's what the secular world doesn't know. God is in control. Period. End of statement. Thank you very much for coming. That's it. I know Him who is in control. I'm against a lot of things that are in this world. I'm against them. I don't like them. But I know he that letteth will now let. He's hindering it until he be taken out of the way. It could be worse. It could be worse. I mean, the only thing that kept me from killing somebody before God converted me was His grace. The only thing that keeps me from killing anybody now is His grace. It's the truth. That's why I don't watch the news a lot. Because evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. They are. But I know who is in control. And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. If you don't know, that's Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And I will beg to differ with that fellow that used to be on the radio, the primitive guy. Man, I heard him talk about this verse on the radio one morning. He said, that's all good things. And I didn't believe. I thought, are you crazy?
all good things. Of course, all good things work together for good. What kind of news flash is that?
Yeah.
All good things work together for bad. That would be news. All good things work together for good. But I'm going to tell you, all bad things work together for good to them. To them. God's very particular. Always very particular. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. God is purposed. And God has planned. And thank God, God has provided. All things work together for good to them that love God. Now, if you don't love God, He's not talking to you. Paul's not talking to you. He's the one that wrote this epistle. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit ain't talking to you either. If you don't love God, the Holy Spirit's not talking to you. And if you're not called according to His purpose, nobody's talking to you. Because this is about His people. This is to comfort us. Like what Walter's been doing on that, talking about Jesus Christ coming again. It is a comfort that this world, which is cursed, is going to be uncursed. Actually going to be done away with, going to melt in the fervent heat. God has purposed, God has planned, God has provided, God has done and will do all according to the pleasure of His good will. And just in case you're not sure, God's will is good. All of it. All that God wills is good. And the judge of all the earth shall do right. So where I started this in Isaiah, he said, "What? I make peace, I create evil. I kill, I make alive." God does it all. The judge of all the earth shall do right. That's another one of them rhetorical questions. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yep, He will. We gather together to hear and to learn of Jesus Christ because this is a place we've set aside to come for this purpose. To hear about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. This world is mentioned. And not ignored. But we know, this book says, this world is cursed. So it's not a big surprise to me. The same fella that was talking about things getting better and better every day, he predicted unrest in the Middle East. Well, one out of two's not bad. I predict unrest in the Middle East this year. I predict unrest in the Middle East every year till Christ comes and reigns. And they'll be mad about that. This is the beauty of the whole system that God has shown here in this book, that when Christ comes again, people are going to get mad about it. When He comes down and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years, people still aren't going to believe Him. As soon as the devil comes back, they're going to turn against Him. Because this earth is cursed. And man is dead, alienated from the love of God. And I know that. I've been taught that in His Word by His Spirit, which bears witness with my spirit that these things are so. And I've seen it. I've been doing this a little while now. And I can tell you, I know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose.
because I've seen it in my life. I've been through some strange things, and I'm not going to list them all for you, but I've learned some lessons. There are places I don't go anymore. There are things that I don't do anymore because I was dumb enough to do them once. And there are lessons I have learned the hard way, stuff I had nothing to do with at all, but it affected me because I was there. I didn't do it, but it was for my good. All things work together for good. What we say about this world is that we know it's cursed, but we also know there's a new earth coming. There's a new earth coming. A new world coming. Jesus Christ is coming. And there's some things Jesus Christ is going to do. And one of those things is we're going to see this world melted in a fervent heat. Then, and only then, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And all believers are to look for that day, and that with hasting the day. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And all this come out of a phone call my wife had. Because I'm in this world. I know about it. To be honest, if she didn't watch the news so much and I didn't catch so much of it coming and going, and where she wants me to spend time with her, you know, I sit in the kitchen. Because you know, that's where her television is. And I would be more of a hermit than I am. Because if it's up to me, you know, some Sundays, Saturdays, I don't even turn the television on anymore. I got a few shows I watch on the Sci-Fi Channel. That's about it. And those only last for a couple of months, and then they go away and I quit watching. The old statement is the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I don't know what a handbasket has to do with that. This world was cursed. This world is cursed. Now, I still like it. I like to take pictures of it. I like it better when there's not people around. Let's just put it that way. Because, see, that makes it even worse. Now, most of the tourists that come to West Virginia aren't too bad, but still, there's something about being in the woods and the mountains. But this earth, this planet is beautiful. This time of year, the spring and the fall when the leaves change, I love it. And I love taking pictures of it. But there's a better earth coming. And that's when all things that work together for good, a new earth. Them that are the called according to His purpose, we're going to get a new earth. We're going to get new heavens. We're in a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and I have no idea in the world what that's going to be like. Because I can't imagine righteousness on this planet. I can't imagine righteousness in me. Not being... Because even when I'm by myself in the woods taking pictures of a really nice waterfall, I'm still there. And my thoughts are there, and my thoughts aren't always that good. Because I'm thinking, boy, I hope more people don't show up and spoil this for me. I'm selfish. I'll share it with you guys. I'll share it with people I like, people I know. But this earth is cursed. This earth is going to be replaced. And that's what we say about the world in this place. Bad times coming. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. But Christ is coming. And even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. That's all I got to say. Come quickly. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this place, this time, in your word, your will, and your way, in this world that we live in. Thank you for taking us out of the world and translating us into the kingdom of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we ask, we pray. Amen.